Those that are staying here, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Last week I talked a little bit about a worldly philosophy that people have about children. And this worldly philosophy about children is devastating. Seriously, it's devastating to our society. It's devastating to our culture, to our even survival in a world in which apparently the ones that have the most children are going to wind up, you know, wiping us out. I mean, seriously, there's some serious problems demographically with what's happening in the world today. And I personally think that we have subscribed to nonsense in the way of in our attitude toward children. That is our rationalistic, evolutionary minded, anti-God, anti-supernatural, anti-Bible, a secular world that we live in has messed themselves up by changing their attitude about their own children. I believe that it's both in men and women, but I believe it's especially noticeable in women when they consider that that they want to have the same fulfillment that a man supposedly has by a career or something, and winds up almost detesting the idea of having children and having many children and what have you. I personally think that that's a huge mistake on the part of our women nowadays, and I think it was a mistake for men before times when they thought that work and career was more important than their own children. I think it was a mistake for men, and now it's a mistake for both of them. And now what we have is children being raised by daycare centers and considered a burden, considered a hindrance to what seems important in people's lives. Boy, I think you're mistaken. I think the world is mistaken. I think they don't realize what this earth is about, what this world is about. And like I said last time, nobody ever said on their deathbed, you know, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. Right? They don't say that. And the reason why is because the office and your career and all your accomplishments, and I don't care if you are a great accomplisher in this world, all of your accomplishments come to nothing sooner or later in this world. The only thing you can do worthwhile in this world is please God. You find Him and you please Him. That's the only thing you can get out of this life. Anything else, you've wasted your time. Now, I'm not saying that getting a career is a waste of time. I think you young ladies ought to get a career, but I think you ought to see your career as a backup plan. Because God has given us something more important in this life. He's given us children. He's given us family. He's given us things that are truly treasured. Right. Truly even treasured in heaven. Right. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Anyway, here it tells us something about the philosophy that people have in this world about raising children. And that same secular, unbelieving, anti-God, anti-Bible philosophy that has permeated our society about the value of children and the value of family has permeated psychologists and scientists and adoption agencies and our legislators and even our courts. And they have messed up because they have not accepted God's philosophy. And children are suffering at this moment because of it. The Bible tells us the value of children. The Bible tells us how to think about them and how to raise them and what our responsibility is toward them. And if you don't get this right, especially you young ones, I mean, let's face it, those of us that are my age, it's too late. We're not trying to help you. We're not even trying to make you feel bad if you blew it. I'm serious. I'm not trying to make you repent. I'm not going to have an altar call at the end of this so everybody that's messed up in their lives as parents can come forward and say, God, I was horrible. Let me tell you something. No parent is perfect. Every parent makes mistakes. I can start naming off the mistakes I made. Man, I was hard to be entreated. I was too lighthearted in a lot of ways. I didn't take some things seriously. I was too hard. I spanked too quickly. I got angry too quickly. I can just name so many things that I did wrong. And it burdens me when I think about the things I did wrong. It burdens me when I think about the weight I put on my own children and the problems I caused them. But I was a good parent. I provided for my kids. I was watching over them. I spent time with them. I invested time with them. And I brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I wasn't a perfect parent, but I was a good parent. And let me tell you something. Good parents shouldn't take the blame for evil children. And there's a reason for that. But at the same time, let me tell you something else just to balance things out. Good parents can't take the credit for good kids. I mean, if you don't have to take the blame, you can't take the credit. Now, it's possible that you were a bad parent. I mean, if you were bar hopping, you were a bad parent. If you were teaching your kids to, smoke dope or how to steal from the store, you were a bad parent. And if your kid grows up and is a bad kid, you're going to take responsibility for your part in that. But if you were a good parent, if you weren't bar hopping, if you weren't committing adultery, if you weren't, divorcing for any reason, if you weren't doing these sort of things that cause serious damage to children, and you were just a parent doing your best, you don't have to take blame for your kids when they grow up and they go off on their own and they do their own thing. And kids, you can't blame your parents. You had a lousy parents. Okay, we'll give you 6 months to get over it. And then grow up and wake up and start making your own way in the world and do the best you can. And don't tell me you can't. There's a whole lot of people who've done it. A whole lot of people had horrible parents. And they woke up and said, I'm not going to be that way. Your daddy was a drunk. You don't have to be a drunk. Your daddy was in prison. You don't have to go to prison.
That's right.
You can just wake up. You can accept your responsibility toward God. There is no way I'm going to get through this. That was just my basic introduction here. All right, I'm going to tell you something. There is a philosophy about children. There's a philosophy that the world has, and there's a philosophy that God has, and I'm here to tell you God's philosophy about children. I'm going to give you a fourfold philosophy that God gives us in the Bible, and then I'm going to give you a fourfold solution that God gives us in the Bible. And I'm going to go over the outline first before I go into any detail, because there's no way I'm going to finish it all, I don't think, and I don't want to leave you hanging. So I'm going to give you the outline. First, the fourfold philosophy about children that God gives us in the Bible. Number one, children are simple. I do not mean that they are uncomplicated. I mean in the Bible sense of the word simple, in that they are inexperienced, ignorant, emotional, vulnerable, that sort of thing, foolish. The Bible says this over and over, and this is one of the few areas which worldly philosophy might actually agree with God. They sort of get it. But there's a whole lot of people who think that children can just kind of raise themselves. Or, that they come with their own little instruction booklet, or that it's not that difficult. Listen, my mom was telling me about some lambs that were just born, and they were just born, they were running all over the field with the whole flock. Just born. Well, little babies can't do that. About the only thing a little baby knows how to do is to breathe and to suck. That's about all a little baby knows how to do. We have to see our children for what they are, set into our lives in a very simple, innocent's the wrong word, ignorant, inexperienced way. And they require a tremendous amount of effort to bring up. You don't just jerk them up and you don't just let them, wander. You have to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Okay, they're simple. Number two, the philosophy that God gives us is that children are sinners. And I say they are sinners from the time they're born. No, even more. They're sinners from the time they're conceived. You say, that doesn't make any sense. And you know, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to disagree with that. The world will disagree with that. And they have changed their philosophy from recognizing the real need that children have. And it's a spiritual need that children have. Because they don't want to see that the Bible is true and that children are sinners. And we've had Christian groups from the beginning, Pelagians and Mennonites and Anabaptists and people that will say, no, it's not true. You guys are misreading those verses. But if you read the Bible and you know it well, you cannot escape. It is one of the basic principles in the whole Bible, how evil we are by nature. By nature. And I'm going to get into that a little bit. The third part of the Bible philosophy about children is that children are servants. Hello, they're servants. In Mexico, they have this horrible tendency to call their little babies mi rey or mi reina, my king and my queen. No, don't do that. Not even for a second. Never call your child my king or my queen. It's giving them the wrong impression. It's not correct. Children are servants. We'll get into that too. And the fourth clue in this philosophy is that children are spiritual. These are spiritual beings from the moment they're conceived. They are spiritual beings with a direct responsibility to God and only granted to us in the sense of entrusted, given to us for a moment, as it were, in order to give back to God. They are spiritual. They have spiritual needs. And disorder in these children is unacceptable. It's a whole philosophy when you realize your children have spiritual responsibilities toward God. All right. There's a fourfold solution. I'm going to go over these just very quickly, and then I'll take them up in a little bit more detail. The fourfold solution is, number one, they need to be trained. Training is not instruction. I mean, it includes it, I'm sure, in somewhat, but training is a specific thing that is done to children from the time they're born. And the second thing they need is they need correction. And in case you're not familiar with the Bible's terminology, correction really means spanking. Okay? And they need correction. And number three, they need instruction. They need teaching. They need reason. They need time invested into instruct these children. And number four, they need provision. They need to be provided for. And I'm not talking about giving them food and shelter. I'm talking about providing for them in their sending off children. Now, listen, let me go over these things just as well as I can in the time I've got. The first thing about this philosophy is that children are simple. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 says, henceforth that you be not children tossed to and fro of every wind of doctrine, that sort of thing. You get the idea. Don't be so simple as children. We have to understand that children are simple. Children are vulnerable. Children are susceptible. Children are easily deceived. Children are overly influenced by peers, by sight, by appearance. It's just natural in children. Children think that the taste of candy is more important than health, right? I mean, we're talking about very simple people. These are simple people. They're not smart. Well, actually, they are smart. They're just inexperienced. They haven't gotten the experience that they need to make better choices. And so, let me tell you something. Children don't know what they want. You know, it is wrong for you to take your little kids to McDonald's and say, what do you want? What are you asking a kid what he wants for? If they come up with a decision, it's not anything they've thought through. And if they thought it through, they haven't thought it through well, and they're probably wrong in their thinking. You know what a parent should do? It doesn't matter what you want. It matters what I want. Because kids are simple. And I don't mean uncomplicated. Kids are complicated. They are the most complicated thing you're ever going to deal with. That's right. And they're all different. Every one of them's different. So you're going to have to learn all over again how to deal with the next kid. So all I'm saying is, when I say they're simple, is they don't know what they want. They do not know. You know, if you see the advertisements that are put on television for, you know, during Christmas time, trying to get kids to want this and to want that and to want this and to want that. People, let me tell you something. It's criminal. It is criminal to treat a child in this method, having him want and want and want and want. We train our kids up to just be covetous. We train them up to just want and to just indiscriminately desire. And it's wrong. Kids are simple. They're not experienced. They have no right to want this or to want that. They have to sit there and accept whatever we decide they ought to have. And you know, maybe you might be a little bit inattentive, and sometime a kid say, "Can I have a piece of candy?" Yeah, okay, you can give him a piece of candy. I'm not saying they don't have any desires. I'm just saying, do not emphasize the desires of children or the wants of children. You know, there are some people who say, "Let's have a family meeting." Or let's vote on it. Have you ever seen, I've seen shows, I mean, television shows where the family gets together and votes on a decision about something. There's nothing more nonsensical than that. The idea that a child should have an equal vote in a family? Women shouldn't even have an equal vote in a family. You guys need me to repeat that? They should not have an equal vote. The family is not a democracy. The church is not a democracy. And God's government is not a democracy. It's just this one we got to deal with right now that's a democracy. And there's lots of problems with it, okay? And there's lots of problems not because of the failure of democracy, but because of the success of democracy. That's the problem with democracy. But I'm not getting into that. I can't go that way. Anyway, children are simple. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him." Listen, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. You know, it's not by accident that the Bible constantly is talking about foolish young people. Young people, I don't mean to disrespect you at all, but you don't really deserve any respect yet. Although the Bible does say that a child, even when he's young, is known by his doings. So, yes, children can earn some respect. But the fact is, young people are foolish. Young people are foolish. I don't know how else to explain this. You know, it's an amazing thing that people actually consider what children want in where we move to, or where, and you know, when a child will have a complaint against their parents. "I just don't, you know, you didn't consider me, and you didn't consider my..." Of course not! We don't consider you! First of all, there should be a whole lot more of you than there are parents, and we can't consider all of you. I'm sorry, we just cannot do it. I cannot consider where every one of my children is in their emotional upbringing. I have to make decisions. And so parents have to make the best decisions possible, and kids have to just get along with those decisions. Kids do not know what they want. Paul says something about making elders or bishops, and he says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil." Young people aren't ready to handle heavy responsibilities. They're just not ready. They have to recognize where they are. And the younger they are, no responsibility. You don't give them heavy things to do or important things to do. You have to take care of those yourself. You have to recognize children do not raise themselves. There is no easy thing. They require a lot of investment. Children are simple. They're ignorant. They are inexperienced. They're emotional. They're vulnerable. And they're foolish. Second, children are sinners. Now, this is where the cat's tail hits the fan. This is where it happens. Children are sinners. And you know something? This is the one point where, by getting it wrong, you've messed up your society. You get it wrong by saying that kids are not sinners and that we need to treat them We need to deal with them not in the sense of blame or in the sense of right or wrong, but that we need to deal with them in the sense of reactions and emotions and needs and such. You know what happens when you follow this secular philosophy all the way out to the end? You wind up having a nation full of children that are on downers. This nation. 60-something percent of our children are on downers. Seroquel. They're prescribed it by people who ought to know better. And you know the reason why? It's because they don't want to admit that God is right. He says our kids are sinners. And if you can't recognize that and do something about it and aim the right way and correct the real problem, you're going to have to drug your kids if you want to be able to handle them, or you want them to get through school. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that's a crime. You got no... Now, I'm not saying no kid needs medicines. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying 65% of them don't.
That's right.
I'm sorry, and I'm sorry if you are a parent and you do not know how to handle your kids and your hair is coming out every direction and you say, I don't know what to do. So you take them to a doctor and the doctor says, I got the solution. Give him this pill every morning and every night and it'll solve your problem. And the kid walks around all tired all day long. No more problems. You solved your problem, didn't you? It's wrong, people. It's a sin. And it is destructive for you not to listen to God. God tells you the problem. The problem is children are sinners. Romans 5:19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That is, they are sinners by imputation. God says they are represented by Adam. Adam sinned. I count them all sinners. I just say it and it's true. God says, I say they're sinners, so they are.
That's right.
Now, that's by imputation, but by no means is that the only way that they are sinners.
That's right.
They are sinners also in fact.
That's right.
You say, wait, how can a newborn baby be a sinner? Well, you can ask God that when you get there. Right now, you might need to trust Him. But let's just read it. Let's see what it says. Psalm 51, verse 5. What does David say? In sin did my mother conceive me. He was not born in adultery, out of adultery. He was conceived right, but he was conceived in sin. From the moment of conception, sin became a part of him. A sinful nature. And the Bible says it over and over. I know these proof verses have explanations. You can find somebody that will give you an explanation for these proof verses, but there's plenty of them. And the truth is, if you really believe your Bible, you can't come to any other conclusion.
Right.
Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies.
Right.
Now, do you believe that or not? Just make up your mind. You see, you don't have to believe that. You can say, oh, I think you're speaking metaphorically. Okay. God gives you the freedom to disagree. So you can raise your kids however you want. You can get psychiatrists to tell you how to do it. You can read books how to do it. And you'll wind up drugging your kids. Or if you're very fortunate and your kids are already sort of dull to start with, you might not have to drug them. I'm telling you, this is wrong, people.
That's right.
It is wrong for you to disagree with God. And it has consequences, and your consequences, you're causing problems. You're causing serious problems for your children by disagreeing with God. God says they're sinners. Just believe Him. Just believe Him. He says, look, you've got a problem with your kids. They are by nature the children of wrath. No. He didn't say that I just kind of see that. They are by nature the children of wrath. He says they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
That's right.
They are not children of God. They're not going to be children of God until they're children of the promise. They got to be born again. If you teach this doctrine that children are born innocent and good, and basically they're good, and that they just learn from the kids on the street how to be bad, nonsense. I had a lady tell me that one time. She says, oh, my kids, they learn from those kids on the street how to be bad. And I said, well, you know what those women told me? They could hear their kids learn from yours.
Right.
They're just bad by nature. You don't really have to teach a kid how to lie. You don't have to teach a kid how to be rebellious. And you better believe that they start being rebellious the moment they're born. If you're wise, you'll listen to God and you'll apply the solutions that He gives you.
Amen.
Okay. The third is that they are servants. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I'm close to it, so I'm just going to read it. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now I say, says Paul, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Did you hear that? A child is a servant. Not a boss. Not a lord. It doesn't matter what he wants. Doesn't matter what he likes. Doesn't matter what he prefers. It doesn't matter if he thinks something's unfair. And you know something? He needs to know that he's a servant. Every child ought to be taught, you're a servant. And there's two ways that they need to be servants. They need to be servants in duty. They need to be taught obligations, duty, and work. Work. You need to tell a child, you've got to work. You've got things you have to do. I'm talking about from very small. I don't think a toddler that can play with a toy should be able to walk away without putting it up.
That's right.
What's the mom walking around behind the kid picking up the toys for him? If a child can mess up a bed, it can make a bed.
That's right.
You say, but it's all wrinkled. That's fine. It can sleep in it wrinkled. That's fine. Make them work. They ought to have the attitude of a servant in their work. And they ought to have the attitude in their attitude, they ought to be servants.
Right.
It ought to be in their duties and in their attitudes that they are servant. That means they've got to be explained. Listen, son, you're my favorite person in the whole world, but right now you're just a servant.
That's right.
You know something? It is a huge mistake for parents to go to school and take up for their kids. It happens all the time. You get parents that go to school, and you know, I have these teachers that are telling me, or these probation officers telling me, that the parent comes and they've always got an explanation. You know, I really get sick and tired of these explanations. I hear them all the time. My kid, he's not a bad kid, he just makes bad decisions. I thought that was the definition of a bad kid. That they make bad decisions. I mean, seriously, we could write a book. It's really hilarious sometimes what parents will say about their kids. It's like, you know, never mind. Listen, children are servants, and you got to get this attitude right. And not only in your mind do you have to get it right, you got to get it right in your kids' minds. And a kid goes to school, and I see it all the time. I see their stiff neck all the time. These kids and their eyes, their angry eyes, saying, I don't have to do that. I'm not going to do that. You can't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? It's in their spirits that they think they're somebody. And they're children. They're not gods. They're not saints. They're not angels. They have no power. They can't even feed themselves. They're servants.
That's right.
They should work. They should say, yes, sir. No, ma'am. You know something? It gets so sickening when I see these kids saying, yeah, nah, or just to judges that have their freedom and their power. No respect. No respect for teachers. No respect for parents. No respect for any authority. Not for policemen. No respect for anybody or anything. You talk about a way to ruin a kid. Teach your kid that he's important and that everything he wants is important. Teach him that and you've ruined your kid.
That's right.
They're servants. Jeremiah said, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Did you believe that? Do you believe that, mom? It is good for your kid to work hard and cry and sweat and come home tired? Now listen, I'm in agreement with the child labor laws. It's wrong to make a child work and not let him get an education. We need, but they ought to work at getting their education. Your kid is lazy and doesn't want to work in his education. You need to do something about that. Paul told Timothy, because he was young, not to rebuke an older person. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And my wife's smiling because I never learned that part, I guess. Okay, I'll admit it, you know. It's true, in a youthful society that we have, we tend to disrespect our elders. But let me tell you something. You ought to respect your elders. You ought to rise up before the hoary head. I just think it is absolutely wrong, the type of disrespect that is given in our society to old people. Old people ought to run this society. That's the way God set it up. He said we should be ruled by our elders. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Ruled by your elders. We're ruled by children and women. Elihu waited till three old men got done speaking. He said years ought to speak. Days ought to speak. He waited patiently through all of that diatribe. And only spoke at the end. And he misspoke, by the way. He was wrong. He didn't say much different than the other three. He was still wrong. But let me tell you something. He was right in that he waited. He was right in recognizing that old people, years ought to speak. Yeah, that's right. They're servants. They ought to be servants in duty and in attitude. Now then, the fourth one is that they are spiritual. You know what the angel said about John the Baptist? He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Do you know what Hannah did with her son? She brought him to God and said, now he's God's. Do you realize that God sees our children as his? They're his heritage. They're what he is doing in this world. God doesn't really look at our virgin forests and say, look at the work I've done. He looks at the people and says, look what I'm doing. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to build something in us, people like him. He made us in his image. This is what's important to God. People are important to God. And these little children, from the time they're born, let me tell you something, from the time they're conceived, God knows them. He says that he forms them in the womb. Did you know that every single individual child is completely distinct from everybody else? Even genetic twins. They're separate, different people with an individual responsibility to God. Let me tell you something, parents. You cannot believe for your kids. You can't make them believe. And it is a horrible practice in Muslim, Hindu, Roman Catholic lands where a child is excommunicated for not believing the religion of their parents. It's wrong because it puts the wrong emphasis on who that child is pleasing. You know what we need to teach our children is that they've got to find God and they've got to serve Him. It's not about us and it's not about our religion or our opinions or our church. It's about them finding God. And you know, you can pray for your kid, but you can't elect him. Now, if you got a problem with the word election, okay, if you pray for a kid, you're praying that God would elect him. You see, because that's what election is, God making a decision, saying, you know, God, interfere with that guy. Stop him from thinking that way. Yeah. Interfere. Do something, God, or else why are you praying? Why are you bothering? Say, oh, Lord, don't interfere with him. Let him have a clean shot at it. That's all. No, no, no. We pray for our kids that God would elect them, that God would go to them and show them, let them see and understand. But you can't do it for them. You can't believe for them. I know parents that make the mistake of leading their kids 2 or 3 years old through a prayer and then telling them from then on that they're saved. It's a mistake, people. Those kids are not your alter egos. You can't live out your fantasies through them. You have to give them to God. And God has to do it. And you do not have God will never give you his prerogative of election.
That's right.
You cannot decide. You cannot make your kid believe. Right. You can pray. You can argue. You can reason. You can love. But you can't believe for them.
That's right.
They belong to God. They are spiritual beings. They need spiritual instruction. And let me tell you something. They are spiritually susceptible. So you need to get yourself, prepared to protect them spiritually.
Yes, that's right.
Daddy and mommy, if you're not preparing your child spiritually, you know what Paul said? He said to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures.
Amen.
That are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That from a child. You know, that's what we have to do. And we have to recognize that is God's philosophy. These are spiritual little beings. They're not like chimpanzees. Sorry. And you know what that really means? Let me tell you something. It really means this. Disorder in children is absolutely unacceptable. If your children are not in order, you got to change something. You got to do something.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable for your kid in the supermarket to be kicking you in the shins.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Get this very clear. It is not acceptable for a 4-year-old kid to be kicking his mom in the shins in the supermarket.
Yeah, that's right.
Or throwing a tantrum or throwing himself on the ground. That's not acceptable.
No.
It's not acceptable for your child to be acting up in class or doing something wrong to the teacher, even if the teacher's boring, even if the teacher's mean. I don't care, even if the teacher is incompetent. It's just not acceptable for your child to be like that. They are spiritual beings, and God is holding them accountable.
That's right.
That little kid, 3 years old, throws a temper tantrum. You know what God says? God says, I'm holding them accountable for that temper tantrum. They're sinners.
That's right.
All right. There's a fourfold solution, and I got 15 minutes. That gives me about 4 minutes apiece. All right. Proverbs 22:6. You know it. If you don't know it, you should know it. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I used to think that that was a promise. I kind of had this idea, you know, that what God means here is, if you do your best, I'll make sure he gets saved and everything's going to be okay. But that's not what it says. In fact, it's not a promise at all. He didn't say, train up a child in the ways go and I'll take care of the rest. A promise is where God says, I promise I'll do this. This is not a promise. This is just a plain old fact. You train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And there are some ways that this is just impossible to ignore.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, young moms and young dads, you're training your children right now. They're being trained at this moment. If every time they cry, you pick them up, you're training them.
Right.
It's a fact. Do you realize you can do your best, and your kid can still go horribly wrong?
That's right.
This is not a promise about what God is going to do for your kid. It doesn't say he's going to save their soul. It doesn't say that he's going to keep them from doing something horrible. It doesn't say that he's going to protect them from every possible danger. What it is saying, though, is an absolute fact, is that when you train them when they're a child, it's going to stick.
Right.
You see, because when children are very small, they're trainable. What did Virgil say? My dad thought it was in the Proverbs. We give him a hard time about it all the time. As the twig is bent, so groweth the tree. Right? As the twig is bent, so groweth the tree. I got this huge tree, and I got big old cables on it. I'm pulling it because it's a little too close to my roof. When the wind blows, it smacks my roof. So I got big old cables, and I'm pulling it, and I'm thinking, if I let that thing pull, and I keep on tightening it up every year, every year, every year, after 5 or 10 years, maybe that tree will stay. Somebody's laughing, but I know I'm going against Virgil. I haven't found that in the Bible yet. But you know, it is a fact. You can take a twig, you can take a little sapling, and you can just bend it all kinds of ways. And as it grows, that's the way it'll be. But once a tree is that thick, you're not going to do that anymore.
That's right.
You just can't. It's not going to work. So the same principle applies to children. There is an age where you can actually train a child's character.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can actually mold their attitude.
Yeah. Yes.
But then there is an age where it no longer works.
That's right.
They get set in their ways. They get set in their attitudes. This happens, people. So what I'm telling you is, this is the first of the fourfold solution. They need to be trained. And they need to be trained the moment they're born. A child needs training from the moment it's born. I'm not sure a daycare worker can do it, along with 30 others that they're taking care of. I'm thinking it requires pretty much a full-time effort. And lady, ma'am, mom, that you have no other choice but to drop your kids off at a daycare, I'm not criticizing you. Do your best. But what I am telling you is, this is a full-time job. Raising kids is a difficult, full-time job. If God didn't give you the luxury of raising your kids at home, I'm sorry. But those of you that have that luxury, you need to take it and you need to apply it and you need to train your children. Now, there are other people who teach how to train children better than I can. But I can tell you that I know that it works. I know you can take a child that is a week old or 2 weeks old or a month old and you can train their attitude.
That's right.
You can train their spirit. You know something? You can train a child to be discontent.
That's right.
You can train a child to be happy.
That's right.
You can teach a child what to cry for.
That's right.
It works. You get a kid that's just crying. And now listen, I'm probably going to get thrown in jail for saying some of this kind of stuff, but you take a kid that's crying for no good reason. I had a couple of my kids that just would not go to sleep. They would just toss and toss and just would not go to sleep. But you know what I found out? Just two little fingers snap right across the leg like that. They would cry like angry cry. And then they'd go to sleep. And you know, it works. After a while, they just realize some things are not worth crying over. Now, this is not reasoning with these kids. This is training them. It's training their attitude. It's training their spirit. You can train a little crawling baby not to touch something when they hear the word no.
That's right.
They learn it right away. You're not reasoning with them. They get trained. You know, they reach up to grab something and you say no and they back that hand right up. Why? You're not being brutal. You're training a child.
That's right.
You can train a child. And you ought to. Now, there are excellent books. The Pearls put out an excellent book on how to train a child. I think they're near geniuses. I really do love their books. They're great. They're strange people, but I think they write great books. So, you know, whatever. What I'm saying is, you need to learn how to train your child.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to do that when they're young. I would say between 0 and 2 years old, you've got a window there. Use it.
That's right.
Use that window. And you know something? You can train a child to be cleanly.
That's right.
You can train a child to be diligent. You can train a child to pick up after herself. I didn't say I was a good parent. I'm not a perfect parent. I messed up on some of my kids. That's okay though. All right. The second thing they need is correction.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We read it. Proverbs 22:15. Let's see. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, this is another place that the cat's tail hits the fan. Mm-hmm. In that, if you start talking about a rod of correction, you know, I'm really sick and tired of people equating a paddle with violence.
Yeah, that's right.
You take a paddle that's intended to chastise a child, that is to spank a kid when they do something wrong, that is not violence.
No, that's
right. It is not an instrument of violence.
That's right.
Now, it could be. I mean, you might get out of hand and you might do something stupid and you might get angry and you might be frustrated and you might use a paddle the wrong way. But in its proper application, a paddle is not violence.
Right.
Violence is personal. Violence is selfish. Violence is mean. But this is not meanness. This is correction. And I'll tell you, it says rod here. Because there was a time when almost the whole world agreed with God in this.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they don't agree with God. And if you take a rod, you're going to leave welts. And if you leave welts on your kids behind or on the leg, or especially if you miss and hit them on the back, they can take your child away from you.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not right, and they'll have to answer to God for it someday.
Yeah.
Because they have a wicked philosophy.
Yes, right.
And they don't care what God says. They think they're experts. And they're trying to prove it by their wonderful new world order. They're going to see where it ends up. And unfortunately, some of our grandchildren are going to see it also. But, in spite of their wickedness, we have an obligation to do what God says. So, don't use a rod. Use a paddle. And make sure you don't leave bruises. Protect yourself. Do the best you can to show the difference between violence and good, clean, justice-teaching spanking.
That's right.
It's just simple self-restraint on your part. Yes. Now, Dad, don't get so angry you hurt that child.
That's right.
That's not acceptable.
Amen.
And never use your hand to hit a kid on the head.
No, that's right.
I have seen parents with their kid running away from them pick up a brick and hit them on the head with it. That's not acceptable. That's not what we're talking about here.
That's right.
It doesn't teach a kid anything. It doesn't correct a child. It just makes a child treat their parents as their enemies.
Yeah.
And it's because the parents are undisciplined, and probably their parents were not very corrective with them. But whatever the reason is, let me tell you something. I'm not excusing your anger, and I'm not excusing your excess, and I'm not trying to excuse anybody out here who actually abuses their children. But parents, under complete self-control, you've got to know that your children need spankings.
That's right.
And if you don't spank your children, you disobey God.
That's right.
You disagree with God's philosophy. And you have accepted the world's philosophy, and you'll accept the world's consequences. There are many verses that I could read on this. I'm right close to one. Proverbs 29:17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee delight unto thy soul."
Amen.
Your kid's a little bit rough on you. They're wearing you out. They don't give you any delight to your soul. You need to learn from God and maybe apply God's solutions to your problem. It's not a vengeance issue. There are three things that the rod or the paddle will do. It will teach a child the principle of justice. Proverbs 23 Verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Can you imagine this? Here's the kid getting beat with a rod saying, I'm dying, I'm dying. And what does Solomon say? Thou shalt beat him with the rod. No, he says, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, this is not a promise that if you spank your kids, he'll believe the gospel. What this is a clarity. It's going to teach your child the principle of justice and how he ought to fear God. That's
Amen.
What you're teaching your child by spanking him. So, it will deliver his soul from hell. Now, there's another reason. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Do you realize that a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame? Do you realize that spanking clears the mind?
Yes.
It just clarifies things.
Yes.
It helps a kid think straight. And it's true, a kid cannot think straight until they have gotten a good spanking. When they get a really good spanking, things just come clear. Things think straight. And there's another really good point to be made here, and I'm going to have to stop right now. But another really good point to be made here is the fact that when you spank a child, it reconciles him. When he's done wrong, a child needs to learn how to be forgiven. A child needs to learn how to be reconciled. And if nothing satisfies the dad, nothing satisfies justice, if there is no real satisfaction, there can be no reconciliation. There's just that enmity, that tension, that irritation between them. And a dad that won't take the rod and spank his child and then say, it's done. Now we're reconciled. Hug me and it's over. And then the child can relax and say, okay, yeah, I did it, but I got my spanking. It's done. It just clarifies things. It helps things out. This is God's philosophy, people. And it also produces reverence. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, I'm not going to read it all, says, we had fathers after the flesh who chastised us and we gave them reverence. Because that's what it does. It does produce reverence. It makes a child realize who's the boss. Now listen, there's another one. There's another two. Instruction and provision. And I don't have time, but they're also pretty good. We're done.